Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Happy Friday, everybody. Willie D, D-Mace, how we doing?
Doing pretty good. It's Friday. I got a job. You know, so everything is good.
It's a beautiful, steamy day.
Absolutely. I woke up this morning, put my feet on the ground.
Roof over your head.
Absolutely. I'm good. I got my coffee in my hand. Nick is sneaking in here as if we don't see him. But okay, we do.
We got a camera that's got a little lack of pressure.
It's a lot. Keep falling down.
We got to tighten that thing up. You didn't see anything, D-Mace. I didn't even see him.
He came in so fast.
Nick is still trying to recover because he got put on the spot this morning by the great Joe Dubin with his famous celebrity birthdays segment.
And I knew it was coming.
It was a cold water in the face. I mean, it was a shock.
Now, here's the
thing. You got taken to school a little bit. But you did outrank Junie.
I did.
Which we see, you know, they finished last. D-Mace, you missed the trivia. Yeah, you had the freak flat tire. You missed trivia.
I don't get another tire.
But this, now it looks like it's not a fluke that they finished last in the
Junie
and Nick.
Yeah, we were on the same
team. So Willie's basically saying, I was surprised that you did so poorly, but now I'm really not surprised.
Now I see why you did so poorly.
Yeah, now this is just par for the course.
I'm glad that my terrible trivia and celebrity birthdays can bring a lot of joy to people on this phenomenal Friday.
It was great entertainment to hear you struggle.
So I will say, the Jody Messina one I was a bit upset about because I did listen to her music a lot.
How old is Jody Messina? She's in her late 50s?
Well, let's just say that
go ahead,
Nick
guys.
And
no,
Junie.
Go ahead and answer it. Go ahead.
Okay, what did Nick say?
They went way too high.
Yeah.
Oh. When they said
they were in the 60s or 70s.
I said like 70 something. I was like,
good Lord. I'm glad she was nowhere around.
I know.
She lives here.
You can't
miss
she
high.
She probably heard that.
I know.
She heard it big time.
If you're going to miss low.
And, like, oh, yeah.
And then her people will be like, okay, you know, that's
28.
Yeah.
No, you know what, Nick? You were just telling the truth. You were basically, I don't know if you looked at the picture or not, but you were like, hey, she looks 76.
I did not look at the picture.
I mean, I'm telling the truth.
Nick
I'm being
saying,
honest here.
Get a new face treatment. Ain't working.
The last time I saw her was on TV doing the national anthem for the Preds. So, I mean, it's been a while.
And you still see, said she was 76?
That was last April.
Really, my brain's all over the place.
20 years in since April.
You aged her in dog years, didn't you? Wow.
Leap year, right? That's something.
Wow, man. Okay, Nick.
Oh, poor Joe DiMessina, man.
Hey, but Rachel Ray. Can't get that
he
one.
He did.
Wrong.
He pulled out Rachel Ray and was
on
able.
The money?
Almost 2
within,
years.
Yeah, he gives you a little range, right? You got to be within two.
Range.
Is that your girl, Nick?
Hey, when I was a kid and my grandparents would keep me at the house, I'm watching Food all day long.
Oh,
Man versus Food,
okay,
Rachel Ray.
How old do you think Selma Hayek is?
You
is Selma Hayek,
like
I mean, you look at pictures 20 years ago to now or whatever, she looks the same.
Aging in reverse exactly, of Jody Messina.
Give me
she's
like
Benjamin Buttons.
50.
You're close. I think she's 56.
She's like, mid to late 50s.
Yeah,
mid
to late
50s.
But she looks much younger, yes.
Okay, we do have to
ask. Oh, okay.
We'd have to ask D-Mace the question because, D-Mace, in trivia night, your absence was felt because if you were on Caroline's team.
Yes.
Caroline's team was tied with C-Mace and Hal and
what was
Lindsay.
The name of their team?
The Quizley Bears.
They were the Quizley Bears.
I like that. I like the Quizley Bears.
Hal and Mace, they were Willy's Wonka. Kind of a PG-13 name.
Yes.
But I inspired them. So they got down to the last question. And they were tied with Caroline's team. And Caroline's team went all in.
Ooh.
Bet it all and missed. So they ended up
put
with
all
zero.
Your chips in the middle
gotta
of the table.
Gotta risk it to
but
get
if you, we
hey,
feel like if you were
some.
On the team.
You gotta go big, go home.
Heard that.
And I forgot to ask you this on Monday. Because we wanted to know the answer. Because in theory, if you'd have gotten right, it would have been maybe a dual championship or overtime. We would have had to figure out the tiebreaker. But the final question was, what was the name of the dog in the movie The Sandlot?
Gosh.
Which, by the way, came out 30 years ago today.
Was
that
it?
That is crazy.
Oh, my goodness. Was it – it started with a B. Was it Bruno or Brutus?
It did start with a B.
Was it Brutus or Bruno or –
There's two answers.
I'm going to go with Bruno, but I'm thinking Brutus because I could hear one of the kids call his name, and they were scared to go in the lot. They were scared to go on the other side.
The hint is they referred to it. They didn't actually know the dog's name, so they referred to it as one thing, and then you find out the real name of the dog at the end of the movie when James Earl Jones comes out.
Dang it. I'm going to go with Bruno.
Maybe he wouldn't have put you over the top.
I'm going to go with Bruno.
Oh.
Do you risk all your points?
I'm going to go with Bruno. We already put all the chips in the middle of the table.
We're going all in.
I mean.
No going back now.
It starts with the B, I know.
Give it to him, Willie.
It does start with the
Beast.
The
Beast.
The Beast. The Beast, yes. Okay.
And the real name is Hercules.
Hercules.
I wrote down the Great Bambino. Because that was the only name that I could think of from the movie, but that, of course, is not the dog.
Went with Goliath.
Babe Ruth.
You were close.
It was Goliath, that Sandlot, too. That was the dog.
Same kind of vibe. Yeah. Same kind of vibe. Yeah, it was a great night at Trivia Night. And I think that I've learned that I need to brush up on a few pop culture little tidbits. But let's get into it, because tonight wraps up the preseason for the Tennessee Titans. Third and final preseason game. So we've got Tennessee Titans preseason game tonight. We've got Labor Day weekend next week when we're all going to be sitting and watching college football all week. I know I am. And then we have week one of the NFL season. So we are close. We've got Vanderbilt football tomorrow too as well. So we've got Tennessee Titans preseason tonight. I think the biggest thing here, I mean, and there's several different aspects and several different layers to, you know, what we want to see tonight, what we think that Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon are looking for tonight before they make the official roster cut down to the 53-man roster. But tonight, I think the biggest thing is how you balance the quarterback situation. Because Malik Willis got a full game last week. I mean, and, you know, no fault of Will Levis's, but he was hurt. So how do, first of all, what do you want them to do at the quarterback position tonight? And what do you think they're going to do? Because for me, I want to see a few snaps from Tannehill. But I don't expect to see a few snaps from Tannehill.
Now, I would be sort of surprised if Tannehill got in the game. If he hadn't gotten in the game, you know, thus far, I can't see them risking it to put him in the, you know, last game of the preseason. How they handle preseason this last game with the quarterbacks, I'm not sure. If Will Levis is ready and to go, which it seems like he is, I think they'll stick with the script. You know, Levis may get more of the play, but I think they will sort of keep it the way they've had it, which is, you know, I think it's the best thing. Again, you know, in this league, when you get injured and you come back, they're not giving you extra reps to say, you know, hey, listen, I know you've been off. I know, you know, the guy in front of you, he's had a lot more reps. We're going to, you know, take his reps away and give them to you. No. The league is, hey, listen, either you're available for us or you're not. And when you're available, then we're going to play you. We're going to keep the same sort of flow that we were going with before you got injured, while you went injured, and now that you're coming back. We're not going to make this special concession for you and allow you to play the whole game or half the game and take away an opportunity. It's not Malik Willis's fault that you got injured, and it's not really your fault. It just happened. And it doesn't seem like Vrabel, he has a history of doing things like that, you know, making sure since a guy's been injured, you know, throwing him in there for, you know, extra plays, taking away from a guy that's still trying to make the roster. You got to understand, both of these guys are still trying to make, not necessarily the roster, but they're still trying to give a good impression and stake a claim for that number two quarterback. So I'm not, as a head coach, I'm not going to, just because you've been injured, I'm not going to all of a sudden say, you know what, you go in, Malik Willis, you sit on the bench for a while and let Levis play. I think ultimately Levis will get more of the playing time, but it's not going to be this, you know, I'm going to give you more and take away his opportunities because you were injured.
Here's what Jim Wyatt wrote, and Jim was on with Joe and Junie not long ago, so we'll play his answer. But he does say Mike Vrabel opened the door to the possibility of Ryan Tannehill getting a series or two. And he said, the hunch here is we'll see it happen. So I pay attention when Jim writes that.
Well, when it's on company letterhead on the Tennessee Titans website,
exactly. So
it means something.
Jim may have come up with some info here. After that, Malik Willis figures to get even more work after starting the first two games of the preseason. We knew that. While it would be great for Will Levis to get some snaps, does it really make sense if he's not completely healthy? So that is, and let's hear a little more of what Jim said. Pay attention to what he says about Levis. Mm-hmm. It sounds to me like he doesn't think Levis is going to play.
Get some reps with the first team offensive line and guys like Tajay Spears, like Malik Willis has in a few previous games.
I don't think he'll get rest with the first group, and I'm not so sure he even plays, to be honest with you. I mean, he missed last week. He left practice early on Thursday. He's very limited in what he did this week. So it's not. I think I would be more surprised to see him getting reps with the first team than I would him sitting out one more game to give him more time to heal. So I'm expecting to see a lot of Malik Willis tonight and then kind of see what happens from there. And Malik Willis has had two starts this offseason, or this preseason, I should say. Expecting again for him to play, bulk of the game tonight. They would have given him a great chance to really make a strong case for himself this off season, going into the year, to be the two, and the question will be whether or not he did enough to earn that spot. I do feel like, the conversation has changed here over the last couple of months, and whether they keep three quarterbacks, I think they will, but the question now is going to become who's the two on game days, and we'll see. So. In a perfect world, Will Levis would have been healthy all the way through the preseason. He would have played a lot last week. Probably would have started last week, if I had to guess, because that's the way Mike Vrabel's kind of done things in the past. Let one guy start one week, the other guy start the next. So, but that didn't work out. And now on a shorter week and him coming off being a little dinged, I don't know that this is a great scenario to put him in and let him go.
Whoa. Okay, so Jim Wyatt said there he'd be more surprised to see Will Levis take snaps with the first team than if he just sat out the game entirely.
He's really hinting that you may not see him out there at all.
I don't even know if he's hinting. I think he might be telling us.
Sounds like he's out. That he's not 100%. And what his point is a good one. If they think he's not going to be with the starters, he's not 100%.
Why put him
don't put him out there with the backups and have him struggle. That's not good for him long term. That there's some logic to that, especially if you're going to play Tannehill for a couple series, and then you can have Willis, in theory, play the rest of the game. And then, of course, you got Mason Kinsey. If you need.
You always have Mason Kinsey if
in
you
the
need.
Back, yeah.
But that's interesting because I would agree that if he's not 100%, you're not going to throw him out there and injure it, even worse than it is now and risk it. Just for the sake of getting reps and getting experience. Mm-hmm. But I want to know what's going on with him.
Yeah.
I mean, if he misses two weeks in a row, can we get a little bit more insight as to what's going on with him?
Yeah, Paul, they said, specifically what's wrong?
I saw
hamstring, quad, what?
Paul Kuharsky put out, and it was a weird I'm gonna pull it up so I can.
That was last week he put it out, right? I think it was last week where he said it looked like a quad or
a quad. Yes, but it was not an official. Mm-hmm. It was sort of reporting what somebody else had. But let me read it because I want to get it right. And I just saw this circulate the other day. Liam Cohen, of course, his former coach, right, at Kentucky,
his former OC,
said at a recent press conference that Will Levis told him. So this is hearsay.
Yeah.
But for what it's worth, he said it at a press conference that he hurt his quad. So that was the lower body injury. So
okay, as a quarterback, how do you hurt? Has he been running a lot?
Or lifting?
I mean, his legs look like tree trunks, and maybe that's maybe he needs to, this season, heading into next season, re-sculpt his body, because the dude looks like a fullback. And maybe because it's, as a quarterback, hurting your quad, that's something you never really see a quarterback do unless he's been hit in his quad. You know, you don't see a quarterback hurting his quad just standing in the pocket and throwing. And he hasn't been running in practice, not to the point where you can pull something. So my thing is, why is this happening?
Well, I think the other question, too, is if Levis can't go, which it sounds based off of Jim White's writing and what he had to say on with us with the Chase McCabe show, it sounds like he's not going to play. So then that adds even more questions to how the Titans approach the quarterback position tonight. Is it the Malik show for the second week in a row? Are we going to see more from Ryan Tannehill? Is this going to force the Titans to have to look into the quarterback market? Mike Vrabel said he doesn't expect that to happen.
I don't think it would either. But we spent a good chunk of our show yesterday. Mm-hmm. You asked the question, who is the backup? And you don't really have a choice.
If Levis can't play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is that going to change? You've got a fair amount of time mm-hmm. between tonight and the actual time you take
it's
the field.
It's like 2 weeks almost.
Sure. So a lot of things can happen. Mm-hmm. But what a huge opportunity for Malik Willis to stand, you know, to establish some turf and at least go into the season as the backup. No, not a lot of people would have bet on that mm-hmm. in May, right?
I wouldn't have.
No.
I don't think I would have bet him being on the team. But let's continue the conversation coming up next, because Malik Willis could more than likely get the second opportunity to take over the backup quarterback position, to really claim it, to really run with it. What do we want to see from Malik Willis tonight? Plus, if Will Levis can't go, which when I stepped in the building today, I would assume that he would have been able to go. It sounds like, per Jim Wyatt, that he's not going to be able to go. Does this create more urgency for Ryan Tannehill to play tonight? We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mays is brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
I think that you can't play scared because you could get hurt week one. And so, whether it's Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, whether it's Tua, whether it's somebody far less established, like, I'm actually okay with guys playing in the preseason. And I understand the risk that comes with it, but I'll give you an example of why I think it matters. The Jets' offensive line is a ton of heat. Now, I think the offensive line is going to look drastically different when Zach Wilson is the quarterback in comparison to when Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback.
Right.
Aaron gets rid of the ball quicker. Aaron understands issues that you may have protection-wise and will play accordingly. And I think that matters. And so I think that matters for the group of five guys that's going to be playing in front of them. And so it's like, well, why would you play Aaron Rodgers? Your season's over if he gets hurt. I agree with that. But it is a team sport, and those five guys in front of him matter in how, where they are going into the season in terms of how they feel like they're playing, I think also matter.
There you go. That was ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck on our show earlier this week. He said he's pro starting the starting quarterback in a preseason. And look, I agree. If it's just a couple of series, you can get in there and get acclimated, build the confidence. And yes, there's always a risk of getting injured. But it's, as Tim is essentially saying, the reward can outweigh the risk. Now, Jim White was on with Junie and Joe Dubin in for Chase McCabe today, and he alluded to, without saying as such, that Will Levis would not be playing tonight, that he's still dealing with an injury. Now, my inside sources, a.k.a. Instagram stories, told me that Will Levis's family is in Nashville this weekend. So I thought maybe that could be a good sign. They're coming to watch him play. But this is just in from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. The Titans quarterback Will Levis is not expected to play tonight against the Patriots, per source, strengthening Malik Willis's chances to earn the number two job to start the season if he continues to show improvement. Malik Willis is the backup quarterback. If Will Levis can't go tonight, Malik Willis is the backup quarterback. And that's with an asterisk of, I think that can change at any moment in time.
Yeah.
Whenever Will Levis gets healthy and starts to eclipse Malik Willis, if he does do that this season. But Malik Willis is your starting quarterback.
Your
backup quarterback.
I would say it's his to lose. Like, I do think he has to play at a level that they feel comfortable that he is going to be able to go in there and do better than he did last year. I don't think anybody's expecting him to light the world on fire, and they hope they don't have to use any backup quarterback. Yeah. But I do think he's got to continue to show that he's progressing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, would you agree with that?
No, like, he
does. If he really struggles and you're like, man, he's really fighting it out there, it's in his head. If he regresses in this game, yeah, I'm not going to say put it all on what happens tonight or anything like that, because I do think right now what you're saying, Caroline, is probably yet. But I do think he's got to continue to try to go. I want to see him go grab it and continue to show signs that he's moving in the right direction.
Well, it's going to be interesting because if Ryan Tannehill doesn't get any snaps, just say the Titans say, you know what, we don't need to put Ryan out there. We're going to couch him into the, regular season starts in 2 weeks. The interesting part is going to be, well, what does New England do? Because you got to remember, New England has a top defense. They have one of the top 10 defenses in the National Football League. And it will be a good test for Malik Willis. What is he going to see? We know how Bill Belichick is, especially with rookie and second-year quarterbacks. He can make them look really, really bad. Mm-hmm. So if Malik Willis, if Ryan Tannehill doesn't play, Malik Willis plays all the whole game, what is Bill Belichick doing with his defensive starters? Is he playing his defensive starters? Or if the defensive starters are out there, Ryan Tannehill, he gets a series. He comes out. Does that first team defense comes out as well, meaning for the New England Patriots? Mm-hmm. Because it will be going against that defense, it will be tough for Malik Willis. Hell, it would have been tough for Levis. Yeah. So I would love to see how he would do against that frontline defense, even if it's for a couple of snaps, before they leave.
Wasn't it the first game? Was it against Houston?
And he made him look
Houston
bad. Yeah, he made Stroud look bad.
Yeah, and they got Stroud out of there pretty quick.
Pretty quick,
because they had trouble protecting him. Mm-hmm. He struggled. So I'm going to continue to go with – he called it a hunch. When Jim writes that, I think he probably has some pretty good
– a hunch.
Pretty good direction that they're leaning towards letting Tannehill play a couple series. But I still agree with you. I think the offensive line, I'd like to say, I'd like to see in there. This is a good test. Let's see where they are. And let's see what Willis looks like with that line against a good defense.
Mm-hmm. And
that's it's a good benchmark. You got to find out if the guy can play. You got to find out. This is a test to see where you are.
And this is an opportunity. Hey, we brought in competition for you, and now you don't have that competition. So now this is your opportunity to seize, and you can do that. You can take that opportunity. Mm-hmm. But I do hate this for Will Levis. I thought he made some good progress. I thought he started to look good. I hate that for him personally, for his development, and for Malik's development as well. Not having that competition in the room, at least for now, as long as Will Levis is out. So I do hate that for Will Levis, that he won't get the true preseason opportunity that we all expected him to get. Mm-hmm. But Malik, it's on you.
Yeah.
It's all you now. What are you going to do with the opportunity? I'm excited to watch Malik tonight, and I'm hoping that we can see an even more polished Malik this week than we saw last week, now that this is his second go at a full game. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into your thoughts on that, your reaction. Again, this reported from Jeremy Fowler that Will Levis is not expected to play tonight against the Patriots. It'll likely be the Malik Willis show for the second week in a row. But what else do we want to look for tonight? Who else is this game important for before we get to roster cutdown day on Tuesday? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
I've seen a lot of snaps and reps from these guys in practice and the game over the last month or so. Like, how much more over the next 3 days could they do to move the needle?
Certainly the game is important. We'll practice tomorrow. Game's important. You really start to see, I think, the special teams is what we've talked about a lot with the games. You can only recreate so much out here. You know, so the special teams and the ability to tackle some of those things that the game is critical. So I think you can see a lot.
That was Mike Vrabel earlier this week at the podium. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays. Hey, pro golf is coming to Nashville this September 14th through 17th with the Simmons Bank Open at the Grove Club. Text the keyword caddy, C-A-D-D-I-E, now to 615-737-1025 and enter to win a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food and drink. Again, the news of the day, this just coming out from Jeremy Fowler. Will Levis not expected to play tonight against the Patriots. That quad injury still giving him some fits, but Jim Wyatt broke down the six things to watch for in the Tennessee Titans preseason game tonight. And in the quarterback section, he writes, Titans coach Mike Vrabel opened the door to the possibility of starting quarterback Ryan Tannehill getting a series or two in the preseason finale. And the hunch here is we'll see it happen. I think that's the biggest wink, wink, nudge, nudge from Jim Wyatt is I got a hunch from inside the building. It's just a feeling. I don't know. Maybe just my instinct here telling me we'll see Ryan Tannehill tonight. I'm glad that we will see Ryan Tannehill tonight. I know that there is fear and concern of what if you put your starting quarterback out there in a game that doesn't matter? What if he gets hurt and then the season is over? I get it. I understand that. But I think, you know, the new offensive line, new pass catchers, and I don't know if that means if we'll see DeAndre Hopkins and Derrick Henry out there with Ryan Tannehill. I'd like to see DeAndre Hopkins out there if Ryan Tannehill's going to be playing in those first couple of series. But the idea of a jumbled up offensive line, new pass catchers, new offensive coordinators, combined with the fact that Ryan Tannehill didn't get the action that we expected him to get this past week with the Patriots joint practices, I think that this is a good thing. It's only a couple of series. He can get in there. He can shake off some rust. He can get some real in-game reps because there's no way to recreate real in-game experience. So take the opportunity when you can get it. Get in there for a few snaps. Come out, get your hat on, and then cheer Malik on from the sidelines.
If Ryan plays, then I truly believe D-Hop plays as well. You have to. You can't put him in there, you know, and not have his starting wide receivers in there. We know Traylon's not playing, but if Ryan does go out there, you got to have D-Hop out there as well. I don't know if it's so much as knocking off rust. Hell, they've been practicing long enough. There shouldn't be any. But I just think it's just getting them in there to sort of see what it looks like. And they're probably hoping – well, New England, if they play their frontline defense, we can kind of get a look at some things that we can possibly do. We're not going to do anything that we're going to show in the first game. We may do some things that we've been working on or do some vanilla things that, you know, we know, you know, like the back of our hand, you know, quick slants, hitches, something really quick, get D-Hop the ball quickly, two or three plays, and then get on out of there. I envision that's how it will go if indeed Ryan Tannehill does play. So, I mean, if he doesn't, I mean, he doesn't, you know, it wouldn't be a huge surprise to me. If he does, then obviously there's something that they want to see with that first team. I guess it's more so we want to see the five offensive linemen, at this time, our number one receiver, you know, our number one tight end. Derek's not going to be out there, so we get our number two back, which is he's still a damn good back in Spears. And then let's see how it looks for the first couple of plays with a stout defense in New England. That's if New England plays their frontline guys because they played them, you know, some in both of the, I believe, in both of the preseason games.
I'm trying to read again between the lines what Jim might know. And he says, the quote is, I don't need to see Derrick Henry or DeAndre Hopkins. So he kind of implies that DeAndre Hopkins might be in the more of the Derrick Henry category of they don't need to play.
We're good.
That's what I'm reading from Jim. I don't know if that's going to be, but I am curious if it is, quote, the starting offense,
mm-hmm.
let's say without Derrick Henry, or even if it's without Hopkins, I am very curious where the receivers line up, who they use, knowing that they don't have Burks. They may not have Burks for the first game or two.
Right.
So who plays in what role? Mm-hmm. Where are they lined up? Like, I think that's worth looking for. And to see if they want to try to get the ball to Chig, or, you know, design a play or two to get the ball to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, or, you know, whoever mm-hmm. whoever it is that they want to take a good look at. I'm curious about that.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, you're playing the Patriots. This is a good opportunity to have a little litmus test.
Yeah, I think if D-Hop is playing, I think they're going to try to get the ball to him very quickly, once or twice in a series, and then get him out of there. Just get him catching the football in the game with Ryan Tannehill. Boom, boom, boom. All right, enough scene. Let's get them both off. Malik Willis, you come in. Offensive line, you stay in for, you know, maybe another two series. I don't know. But just to have Ryan, because my thing is, you can't, it doesn't make sense to put Ryan out there but not have D-Hop out there. It doesn't make much sense to me.
I still want to see Ryan out there regardless yeah. of who's out there, but I'm with you that mm-hmm. it would make more sense to me to see as much of this starting unit as possible
mm-hmm.
to give Ryan the same targets he's going to be throwing to week one in New Orleans.
Yeah, or they could be.
But
could be scared because look at the depth at the wide receiver room.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. You could wrap D-Hop in bubble wrap and say, we're gonna carry you in a satin bassinet to New Orleans to make sure that there is nothing that goes wrong with you, because we lose you and we are screwed. Capital S screwed.
Mm-hmm.
But I do expect to see a good bit of the, what I call, you know, the non-veteran varsity players,
mm-hmm.
like Chig, Chris Moore. I know he's, you know, been around the league, but still new to this team mm-hmm. and new to this offense. So I wouldn't be surprised to see those guys play.
It also sounds like we're going to see Harold Landry for the first mm-hmm. time.
All
signs are pointing that he will play. Mike Vrabel almost hinted at it very early in the week. They've had him in front of the media this week. Jim wrote it. I think we're going to see him. So, like, what would you look for, Derek? Like, he doesn't necessarily have to sack the quarterback, but we want to see how he's moving, right? We want to see how he's lined up.
And if he can get that initial push, you know, once he engaged with the offensive lineman, because, again, you're playing against someone else. You're not playing against your teammates. Your teammates may, you know, because they understand where, you know, that you missed the season because of a knee injury. So they're not really trying to mush you in the ground, mm-hmm. so to speak. But New England's not thinking that. So I want to see, how does he come off the ball? Once he engaged, does he still have that lower body strength to sort of explode through? How is he working off of stunts and stuff like that to try to get inside after another guy comes outside of him? So I want to see necessarily those things. I don't think he forgot how to tackle, so right. Tackling should be fine. I just want to see his engagement with the offensive line. How is he then, you know, disengaging from the offensive lineman? That's what I want to see.
And it makes sense to me for Harold Landry uh-huh. to play. You know, he hasn't seen actual in-game play since that Bengals game,
mm-hmm.
the divisional round game in the 2021 season. And that's something that Mike Vrabel alluded to, was you can't tackle in practice like you can in a game. So mm-hmm. just get in there and, you know, actually hit somebody for the first time in a long time. So that makes sense to me for Harold Landry to play, even though it might be much to his dismay, because
mm-hmm.
we heard him when he was at the podium on Tuesday, that day that you were out, Willie, and he was like, yeah, you know, if Vrabel wants me to play, then, yeah, of course, I'll play.
If it was up to Harold Landry, he probably wouldn't.
Play.
Yeah, he would just wait until the season.
But I wonder, why play Tannehill now? I mean, Tannehill hasn't played in a preseason game since 2019. Like, you're now four offensive coordinators removed from that. Matt LaFleur, Arthur, Todd Downing, now Tim Kelly. So this isn't the first offensive coordinator shift since then. And Tannehill hasn't played in a preseason game since that season. So why now?
Well, they've gotten off to poor starts the last couple of years. They've lost the opener. Might be time to try something new. I see a lot of teams playing at least the starting quarterback in the third game.
Veteran
in the third
starting
game.
Quarterbacks.
Yeah, so it may be just trending that. You don't play for, like you said, Derek, it's almost 2 weeks until you actually play a game. So maybe this is what a lot of people are now theorizing is the best time to get the work in. Like it used to be, what game did you guys play as sort of the dress rehearsal? It wasn't the last
third game. It was the third game.
So now the third game is now the new third game.
Yeah.
Right? You don't have
the
fourth game.
The old third game is now the new third game, but you don't have the fourth game.
Right.
Yeah. So
there's some logic there.
Yeah, there is.
If you get dinged up a little bit, at least you got to – it's like you have a whole bye week. So
obviously. You got what? 2 weeks? They don't play next weekend.
Right.
The
next
following
weekend. Yeah, so two Sundays from – would be two Saturdays from
you got over 2 weeks,
Sunday,
really.
Yeah, so it's really 2 weeks in a day, something like that.
Do you think like
two days?
They obviously they came out really hot last year in the first half, but they lost the game, and the year before they lost the opening game, they haven't been a great starting team. Maybe that is a little bit of the thinking. I don't know.
It very well could be. It makes total sense to me. I've wanted to see Ryan Tannehill play in the preseason. But I feel like it would have made sense last season to do it, too. So I don't know if it's a Tannehill thing. I don't know if that's a new, you know, Tim Kelly thing of, hey, let's just get them in there. I don't know what the difference is. I like it. And I do wonder, you know, the third game. Why the third game?
Well, I think that's the closest, you know,
closest
you can practice
to gameplay.
And I think maybe the fact that they didn't get the work in during the week with the Patriots that they had scheduled.
Adjusted
that might have factored in. But yeah, they didn't win the opener last year. 2 years ago, they looked very poor in the first game. So
the Taylor LeLon game, if you will.
Shake it up, yeah.
6-1-5-7-3.
And the Michael Badgley game. Hint, hint. There's another.
Was that the Michael Badgley game?
2 years ago, yeah.
Against the Cardinals?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was there. I'm not going to say that I booed, but I looked around. Oh, my gosh, they're booing the kicker. They're booing him.
Speaking of Michael Badgley.
Who is this guy?
When you boo the kicker, that's when you know you are down bad, when you start booing the kicker. But speaking of the kicker, we will see Michael Badgley tonight. And Willie has a theory or a new development on the kicking front. So we will get into that coming up next. And your thoughts as well, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Hey, tune in to 1025 and 1063 The Game tomorrow for the return of Vanderbilt football. The Commodores will kick off at 6:30 p.m. at home against Hawaii with pregame beginning at 5 p.m. My first Vanderbilt game. Very excited about it. You can hear all the coverage on the 1025 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com.
What was it about him down the tape that made you want to bring him in?
We'd had Michael here before, and he's got the next crack at it. I'm sure we'll look at other ones, too.
That was Mike Vrabel on Michael Badgley.
Not a ringing endorsement.
Yeah, after first day of practice. Yeah, we'll probably bring in another kicker sometime here soon. Not what you want to hear. Yeah, your first day on the job for the second stint of this job at this place. But Willie, you texted us this morning that you have new developments, or at least new thoughts, on the kicking position for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, it's more of me trying to go back and do a little homework and investigate what factors are out there. We when they did this, we were kicking around a lot of different things as to why they are where they are right now with the kicker. And after doing some homework, I think, and nobody from the team has told me this is straight up the answer, but I think you can deduce that it has almost everything to do with the salary of Randy Bullock, or a, quote, veteran kicker. Because of, you brought this up, Derek, the other day. The old rule that's been around for a long time, a vested veteran that is on the roster for week one, his salary is guaranteed for the season, right? So that's where you have to weigh in. Who's really worth the extra money?
Mm-hmm.
For example, Randy Bullock was not the only veteran kicker that teams walked away from. We were talking about how many kickers can you name that have been with the same team for a long time? There's not as many as you might think. So, Robbie Gould, kicked forever.
He's what, 40 years old?
He's a free agent. Well, he's, what is his age? Let's see.
Robbie's late 30s?
He's
been around.
Yeah.
He's been around. Look, Nick, if you can, look up how old is Robbie Gould, the kicker. Mason Crosby, another guy that's been around forever. Released.
He may be the oldest, Mason Crosby.
So Robbie Gould released by the 49ers. Mason Crosby released by the Packers. The third one is, I just had it. Ryan Succop. Mm-hmm. Old, reliable Ryan Succop. 36 years old. Released by the Bucs.
Hey, speaking of Ryan Succop,
they could get him back.
40.
40 Robbie is Gould. 40.
Robbie Gould 40. Is 40. Okay, so, but what do they all have in common? When you've kicked a long time, what happens? You start making more money. Mm-hmm. You're reliable. They pay you more. So, during the off season, a lot of times, and the Titans were in this position because Randy Bullock's contract, even though it's not like Randy Bullock has been in that category, those other three guys, but he's kicked a good long time. Mm-hmm. He was going to make well over $3 million against the cap with the contract he had. So they cut him. So it wasn't as much they didn't like what Bullock did, even though he's not perfect, right? As we mentioned, he wasn't perfect last year, but he missed three kicks the entire year. But this, I think, had a lot. It had a lot more to do with the salary. But let's now fast forward to where they are now. After week one, you might still have your choice of Succop, Bullock, Crosby, Gould. They're still all sitting there.
Plus several other mm-hmm. kickers that are going to get released after training camp. There's going to be a new sure. refreshed pool of kicking.
Right. But you don't have to guarantee the salary mm-hmm. after week one.
Right.
Badgley is in that I don't think is nearly as expensive as those other guys. So he, in the meantime.
Is he a vested guy? How long has he been in the league?
He's kicked for five different teams, yeah. but it hasn't been for very long
yeah.
in any stop. So I don't think he's as expensive. I think – Nick, you put up you found his
$1 million.
$1 million. Mm-hmm. So he gets a crack at it if he does really well in tonight, and then maybe he gets a shot on opening day. If he does well, maybe they roll with it. Mm-hmm. I think the idea with Shudak and Folk, or was it Folk the other guy? What was the other guy's name?
Wolf.
Mm-hmm. Hey, maybe you find a guy that's really good. Those guys are super cheap. Mm-hmm. You give them a chance, and obviously they did not take advantage. So they had to try to do something else. But I kept asking the question, why did they just move? Why not just bring Bullock back? He wasn't that bad. But they might bring Bullock back. They had that option if they're sitting there after the first game still looking around for a kicker. Or Crosby, Gould, Succop. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be interesting if Succop came back?
Yeah.
My thought on that is, if it was about the money mm-hmm. and they didn't want to guarantee the money after week one, which I get it, why wouldn't you just roll with Shudak or Trey Wolf who weren't vested veterans? Mm-hmm. I know that they left a lot to be desired. I understand that. But if you just have them kick week one just to get you past week one, and then you can bring in a vested veteran guy so his salary isn't guaranteed, that would make sense to me. I mean, why bring in Michael Badgley,
because
who is a vested veteran?
But is he, though? I'm guessing he may not be.
I think he may be.
But
Four years of accrued service.
Not a total 4 years.
Because it was pieces of seasons, right?
They changed. I think it used to be 3 years, three games. I think it may still be that. I don't think the new collective bargaining changed that. I know the players wouldn't have changed it. So I don't think it has to be a full 4 years. I think it may be 3 years, three games, somewhere around there.
And he's been in the league since 2018. So he's a vested veteran.
He wouldn't be a vested veteran until this season. Three years, three games. What is it?
2018, 19, 20,
okay,
21,
okay. 22. Okay, I'm counting it wrong.
We'll see if we can find out officially, because that's an important piece of info.
After four years?
4 years. Yes. So okay. He would be a vested veteran. So if you're concerned about the money, why bring in another vested veteran for this week? Why not just roll with a young and experienced, or a younger guy, even though you might not think that he is the guy? Mm-hmm. Then you can just pay him whatever, just to get you past week one and bring in a veteran that you might want after week one.
Well, maybe Badgley would make so little that it's not that it's worth a little extra change. You know, instead of $3 million or $4 million, he's $1 million So even if you had to eat that, maybe he went jumps up and wins the job. It's an interesting question.
I mean, I don't.
Badgley
honestly,
is a vested veteran.
Yeah. He is. Okay.
Why is this even a conversation, honestly? Because to me, you get what you pay for. And if you're penny pinching over kickers and you're a team that need a kick, like you are a team that plays close games. You're not, you know, Cincinnati. You're not Kansas City. You're not the Chargers. You're not one of these high powered teams, like can score at a clip like that. You can just score. It doesn't matter. You are a team that play grinded out football. Yeah, you can put some points on the board against some teams. But more times than not, we are playing close games each and every week. Mm-hmm. And over the last couple of years, you have won those close games. To me, why are you penny pinching with a position that you know for you is a position of need?
But I don't think that they are.
If we're talking about vested veterans and they're not bringing this guy in because he's making this much money, Bagley, they cut him once. They bring him back. And it seems like Vrabel is like, hey, listen, he gets the next crack and we're going to bring another
one.
We'll
go on to another one.
They didn't cut the two before him. It's like, damn it, settle on a kicker and let him kick.
But they did need the money, right? They wanted.
Why
to keep,
did they need the money?
Because
why?
They wanted to keep Beyer. They wanted to keep
they
Henry.
Didn't need that
they wanted to go get DeAndre
We're
Hopkins.
Giving them too many excuses. We're giving them excuses. This ain't about if they like.
But
like
somewhere
Jared,
you
no,
have to
like
make
Jared always says. If they wanted to keep the person, they would have kept him. Point blank, they would have found that extra $1 million or $2 somewhere to keep that kicker, like Bullock. You all
right?
We go back to when I think.
But do you think Bullock? Bullock did a nice job last year. I'm defending what Bullock did.
Yeah, and I'm saying
but
they should have kept him.
He still paid too much, though.
According to who? Not for a team that needs a kicker and that plays close games.
I know, but you wanted D-Hop. You wanted to keep Beyer. I mean, there is a priority list that somewhere in there you got to. You got to make some. Money somewhere.
I understand what you're saying, Willie. But if they need a kicker, you haven't had a kicker in a while. You keep on playing these musical chairs with kickers. Pay the money that you need to pay, so you don't have to be in this situation. You can find an extra $1.5 million too.
Right.
You ask Beyer to take a pay cut. He took a pay cut. You ask some other guys to kind of come back off your salary a little bit.
But the 49ers, the Buccaneers. And the Packers all did the same thing. They cut the veteran kickers
their
to save a little
kickers
money.
Might just not be very good.
What?
Their veteran kickers just might not be very good.
Well,
they might view
but those
it that
guys,
way.
Those guys have suck up Gold and Mason Crosby have kicked for a long time. They were pretty reliable to last this long, right? I mean, maybe they're to the age where the range isn't
and
as
Bullock
good.
Is reliable.
He does have limited range. Remember what Jonathan Hutton brought up?
And that's the problem.
That there was probably a little hesitancy to try a 55 or a 56-yarder. Here's another thing that was brought to my attention that I think is worth thinking about. In this day and age, so many more teams, and I think the Titans are in this now, the analytics, if it's 4th and 3 from the 35, instead of trying a 53-yarder, you go for it. Whereas back in the day, I was like, all right, let's just try the 53-yarder. But now
Brandon
it's like
Staley approach.
4th and 1, 4th and 2. We're going. But it's not just Brandon Staley. More and more teams every year decide to go for it in those situations than they used to. Fair to say? I mean, it's not even close. It's not even arguable.
Because football has changed, I think they see it as, if you look at the numbers, it's a little bit easier to get a first down than it would – to possibly kick this long field goal.
That's so, what's happening. Whereas before, they never would bring it up. If it was 4th and 1,
unless
you got to go for the field goal.
Again, unless you got a tucker, a lot of teams are thinking, should we go for it on 4th?
Yeah, maybe our chances are better. And I think when Bullock, who was not a guy that was going to drill it from 60, right, it's like, okay, our chances are better of getting this first down, 4th and 3, than it is to try a 53, 54-yarder. Depending on the conditions, all that stuff.
Well, let's continue the conversation coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.